96% of Americans now own mobile phones, according to the Pew Research Center. And that is why the news out of the Justice Department on Friday is especially significant. The department approved a big merger between T-Mobile and Sprint, which will reduce the number of wireless carriers in this country. That could mean changes for the bills we pay and the service we rely on. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
So this is a story that really should matter to just about every American.
It should. Almost all of us have cell phones, and the average American spends well over $1,000 per year on his or her cell phone. For the richest 20% of earners, it's about $1,500 a year. I mean, there aren't a lot of things that we spend $1,000 to $1,500 on every single year besides our houses, our food, our health care, and our cell phone bills. So when there's a big merger in the cell phone industry, in the mobile telecommunications industry, we absolutely should care about it, because mergers do tend to mean less competition, and less competition does tend to mean higher prices.
Well, and it's not like a merger in the airline industry, because not everybody flies, certainly not 96% of Americans. But
exactly.
In this case, a lot of us are using cell phones. Now, give us a sense of the larger context of what's happening in the industry. This new company, the Sprint T-Mobile merged company, will compete with AT&T, which is the largest wireless carrier, and Verizon, which is the second largest.
That's a great summary. Like a lot of industries in the U.S., the cellular phone industry is dominated by a handful of companies. Really, right now, there's a big two. There's AT&T and there's Verizon. And by merging T-Mobile and Sprint, that is supposed to create a big three. So the government, I assume, is thinking three is more than two. There will be more competition among these Goliaths to improve infrastructure, to build out 5G technology, which we can talk about in a bit, mm-hmm. and maybe even to compete on price. But a lot of the critics are saying, no, that's not how things work. That's not how math works. This is not the big two becoming the big three. You're taking four sizable telephone companies, Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile, and you're letting the third eat the fourth. That is reducing competition. And reduced competition is going to yield higher prices for something that Americans already spend more than $1,000 a year on. So that basically is the debate that's happening right now over this merger. Is one group saying this is two becoming three, and another group saying, no, this is four becoming three.
Well, we should say that Sprint and T-Mobile have agreed not to raise prices for 3 years, but we don't know what will happen after that. Now, what about the investments that they may be able to make as a bigger company in things like rural broadband service or 5G, as you were talking about?
These are beautiful promises. I mean, if these companies do invest significantly more in building out more rural broadband, that would be fantastic. If they spend, you know, their larger sum of cash flow on building out 5G technology, that'd be great too. You know, these 5G networks are really highly celebrated. They're eagerly anticipated. Supporters say these networks would be so fast that movie downloads would go from several minutes to several seconds. That's to give you just a sense of how much faster 5G technology could be. You're talking about faster internet, which would accelerate, you know, every aspect of an economy that's becoming increasingly digital. But, you know, Will this happen? Will they invest more in rural broadband? Will it expedite the infrastructure developments for 5G technology? Maybe. We just don't know. These kind of consent decrees that come down from the DOJ and from the federal government don't always actually happen after these mergers take place.
How does our cellular industry, or what we pay for our phone service in this country, compare with other countries?
We pay a lot. We pay a lot. The U.S. has really expensive mobile service compared to other advanced countries, more expensive on a per gig basis than Canada, than Germany, than Australia. There was one 2017 paper I found that had this amazing conclusion. It said, if U.S. mobile service prices were in line with Germany, American consumers would gain $65 billion a year. $65 billion. That's the size of the U.S. jewelry industry. It's the size of the U.S. pet industry, approximately. So imagine if everything that we spend on pets or on jewelry were rebated back to us. We just got that money for free. That's what it would feel like if American mobile service had Germany's prices. And what you tend to want to do is to have more competition in order to drive down prices. The question is whether this big three really will have a competitive outcome.
Do you think that this is going to go down in the history books as the consolidation of an industry like we've seen in some of the big you know, cases of monopolies in the past.
Absolutely. I mean, every industry in the United States right now has a monopoly problem. The pharmacies have a monopoly problem. The airlines, as you mentioned, have a monopoly problem. Mobile service has a monopoly problem. And that's not even getting to tech. What's confusing, though, about the way the federal government's going about trying to fight these monopolies is it's doing it in a really haphazard way. Like, sometimes they allow huge mergers in the media industry, like Disney buying Fox. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they give those companies a lot of trouble, like when AT&T tried to buy Time Warner. The government, you know, had an issue with T-Mobile merging with Sprint. Then they decided they didn't have an issue. So it's just really confusing, I think, trying to look at these cases on a case-by-case basis and figuring out what the government's perspective on antitrust mm-hmm. policy really is.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thanks as always.
Thank you.